Blog Talk Radio.
It's getting better all the time. I used to get mad at my school. The teachers that taught me weren't cool. They're holding me down, turning me round.
Good afternoon. This is AJ Signeri filling in for Chris Andre. Today's guest today is Chris Stewart, Tennis Service Representative for Arkansas, and we'll be talking with Yasmin Osborne, Diversity Grants, and the NJTL Manager, both of whom work for the USTA Southern Section. Chris is on the line. Chris, how are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. So pretty much tell us what your role is, you know, educate people a little bit of what is a Tennis Service Representative or TSR to those of us who work with the USTA, what your role is in that and how does that play into multicultural tennis as well?
Well, one of the many things we do, or just the many things we do, is we wear a lot of different hats. We get into adult tennis, whether it's league at the grassroots level, clubs, park and recreation departments, youth tennis for the grassroots, kids, quick start tennis, which is a format for 10 and under kids, junior team tennis, competitive play for kids and adult tournaments, grants. We do a lot with the grants. Grants for parks departments, multicultural diversity. So you kind of name it, we kind of do it and kind of help out facilitate with our state and with the southern part of the USTA. So there's at least one TSR in each state. That's kind of what our role is and how we work within our states and our communities, community tennis associations, et cetera.
Now, with your role as TSR in Arkansas, is Arkansas broken up into different districts, or is like part of Arkansas one district, and there's like parts like Little Rock and other places that are its own districts? Can you maybe expand on that a little bit?
Yeah, basically, our state office facilitates a lot to do with kind of, you know, what goals are for me, you know, from year to year. And within the state, we also have our areas broke down into CTAs, Community Tennis Associations. Their job is to kind of do what all of our job is, and that's to help grow tennis in their local area. The CTAs know their areas better than anybody else, so they can kind of, you know, help from the ground level what their area is capable of, you know, doing, whether it's diversity, multicultural, demographics, you know, younger kids. There's some areas in our state that they just don't have as many youth living in the area, basically because they may be retirement areas or they're limited on what they can pull in. Other areas have a large population of different ethnic groups. So each area, the CTA kind of determines, you know, what they're going to do from year to year based on the goals that are passed down to them. So, but both myself and the CTAs and the state office, we're here to help out, you know, grow tennis as much as we possibly can.
So, give us your perspective as TSR in Arkansas. What are you seeing in terms of multicultural tennis? Has it been growing, say, in the last 5 years? Forgive me, I don't know how long you've been TSR in Arkansas or have been TSR in other places, but Arkansas specifically, what has there been growth thus far?
Yeah, there has been a little bit of growth last year. I know we did in the Northwest Arkansas area, which is Fayetteville, Springdale, we actually did like a Mexican type, you know, reaching out to the cultures that come from that group. They did a summer program for the kids, the youth in the area. I know this past year we've actually done it again, or we have plans to do it again in the Little Rock area. There's a tennis pro by the name There's a tennis pro down there in Sherwood who we've talked to, reached out to, both myself, Yasmin, and we have plans to do that again as well. I'm currently working on the area that I live in, a boys and girls club. We have four of them in our area who the boys and girls club really impact a lot of the kids who have to, I mean, they have to go there. Both parents work or they don't have anybody else really at home to take care of them. So probably out of those four boys and girls clubs, probably 70% are multicultural type kids. I've gone in and talked to them. We're going to do a summer program for the kids and then long-term look at doing a fall junior team tennis for those kids. So there has been some growth, not as much as we would like, but sometimes it's just trying to find the right person in that area who has the connections with other people to really get them on board as well. So we have had some growth. It hasn't been, like I said, it hasn't been as quick as we would like, but we are reaching out there and trying to make some impact on reaching out to multicultural youth and adults and, you know, just targeting as many people as we possibly can.
Now, let's expand on that a little bit, and let's go to the southern section. Now, to my understanding, the southern section is a very large section. What kind of growth has there been in the southern section? And one would think that since the South has a lot of multicultural communities, one would think that, you know, that's not an issue. So, one, is there growth? And if so, how fast is that growth going in the southern section? And is it hold true that it's not even an issue, that given to South, there's a lot of multicultural communities, it is what it is? Can you talk about those?
Yeah, I can try to talk to the best of what I know. I wish Yasmin knows more about this than anybody. She does a great job helping us. The TSRs, you know, she's stationed out of the southern section home office. So she could really touch base more on that, on, you know, exact numbers, things of that nature. But I do know that we have had a lot of growth. We actually have a Natalia, who is our Hispanic TSR. She works a lot with each one of us and has been to all of our states to really help pump up that side of the group. So we have had a lot of growth. I know that last year we actually offered a wheelchair workshop for tennis pros throughout the state that really helped us get a couple of things started in my state alone. I know the other states have as well. But I wish I could touch more base, you know, to give you more info on exact numbers this other, you know, section has in relation to, you know, what it is we have done. But I do know that Southern Section does make a huge impact on multicultural diversity type things, and that's large part because of all of us working together and the resources that we have at the home office and the state office and whatnot.
No, I mean, it's fine. I mean, again, whatever you can touch on is awesome. What initiatives... Let's just go back to Arkansas, and what initiatives there have you guys tried to do to implement promoting multicultural tennis? What has worked, what has not worked, and why do you think either initiative or project worked or did not work?
Multicultural, that end of it, like I said, last year we had the Hispanic program that we offered to the youth in the Northwest Arkansas Fayetteville area. I think one of the reasons that worked because it started out, we had a lady up there who does a phenomenal job growing junior team tennis, and that was one of the things she was really trying to get, you know, more kids of different, you know, cultures involved in tennis, and she did a great job. One of the things I think it went well was because we started out at the parks level. A lot of people, they think of tennis as being just a country club type sport, which, you know, it can and it is, but it is not. It also starts out at the parks department. They offered the summer program through the parks department, which went very well. Some of the things I think that sometimes we might be up against is the cultural nature of different sports. Soccer is so prevalent and big in the Mexican, you know, culture that sometimes overcoming those barriers and just giving, you know, trying to get a chance to introduce kids to the side of tennis that they may have never been exposed to. One of the good ideas that we're going to do here in July is the Tennis Pro in the Little Rock area. He's actually going to connect soccer and tennis to try to bring in those kids to have the chance to at least expose them to tennis using soccer as a way to try to get them in. I think starting out the successes that we've had, we started out at the grassroots level, community-based type things. Park and Rec has been really good for us because a lot of people go to park and recreation departments to, you know, have stuff to do for their, you know, families. Just an easy way people feel more comfortable going to parks department. So I think it's one aspect that we've had that's helped us out a lot is going through venues such as that to help us try to grow it.
Okay. I believe on the call right now we have Yasmin on the line. Yasmin, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Hello.
How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Chris, I was just talking just a little bit about, you know, what he does as a TSR and what's been going on in Arkansas. Yasmin, can you just give us a brief background on what your role in the Southern section is, and we'll just go from there, and I have just a question for you.
Okay. So I am the Diversity Grants and NJTL Manager for the Southern section. Really, my job in a pretty package is community outreach. I'm trying to promote tennis to communities that don't otherwise play tennis, may or may not have the opportunity or just may or may not be introduced to tennis or think tennis is accessible or for them. So really just trying to promote tennis. I also do wheelchair tennis and special populations outreach. So that's kind of in a nutshell what I do, and we cover the 9 states in the Southern section.
Okay. The one question I do have is, again, we talked to Chris, and he was giving us like a background on how they're promoting multicultural tennis, what has worked, what hasn't worked. Can you give us a good indication of what's going on in the Southern section? Is it growing? If it has, what's working in terms of initiatives and projects? If not, why is that? So can you speak to those?
Sure. I think the number one thing that we have been doing better and we can continue to do that will always work is better and more open lines of communication. There are a lot of tennis players of color out there that are already playing tennis, and some of them just don't know about USGA programming. That's kind of where TSR has come in really, really, you know, they've been really great for us just to get the word out more to different areas about tennis. They can saturate their states, whereas from the Southern section office, it's kind of hard to saturate 9 states. So that they've been very, very helpful in that aspect. And really a lot of it is just getting people to know more about our programs. We do targeted approaches, specifically the Hispanic community that really hasn't played tennis in the past. It's just a brand new population. And then in other respects, it's getting more into the school systems, getting more into community organizations, having partnerships with bigger organizations that are focused on the same pocket of population that we are. So, you know, it's Boys and Girls Club, other hospitals, other health organizations. I think about groups here that are fighting obesity. We try to get on with them. And so that's really strategic partnerships have been really helpful. A more open communication has been really helpful. And then, you know, on a more local level, working with things, for instance, like the Latin American Association, or Chris is doing a partnership with the Boys and Girls Club, just kind of local grassroots organizations that already have the kids, already have the programming, and then we come in and we make sure that they have an option to do tennis as well. That has been some of the most successful programming that we've had.
Okay. This question is for both of you. What challenges have you guys faced in your respective positions? Is there, could you give us an example of a challenge and then how it gets overcome in terms of promoting the initiatives that you guys are wanting to do in USTA?
Chris?
Okay, who's going first?
Go ahead, Yasmin. I would say challenges for me, and Chris and I probably have similar and different challenges. One challenge for me is that I'm over 9 states, so I have to collaborate with 9 states differently in 9 different ways because they all have, you know, strategic plans of their own. They all have organizational structures that are different. Trying to encourage or promote the business case for diversity, that's taken a lot of time to try to get people on board with why diversity in a business sense rather than a, you know, social sense. That's been a little bit of a challenge just because it's been time consuming. But like I said, with the way that one of the ways that's been overcome is with the TSR. So it's kind of neat that we're both on the phone at the same time because I can just kind of go straight to the TSRs who are going straight to the community, and getting them on board with the business case for diversity has been so much easier. A lot of them have come to me actually with, you know, hey, why aren't we reaching out to this population, and you know, what can we do in this community? So that partnership has been so much easier than trying to get the whole organization at one time on board with, you know, different initiatives when they're already bogged down with so much work. So that's been great. I think that it's also a challenge to not have maybe immediate gratification, because some of these things are planning, they're partnerships. We have to find creative ways to make them work. And so it takes a little longer to kind of get it established in communities, in new communities especially. So that's been kind of a challenge, just to get people to be patient with the reward process. But, you know, not anything that's a mountain that can't be overcome.
Okay. Chris?
Well, I think ours are a lot similar in some aspects. Granted, Yasmin does have a huge area, granted, compared to me, of what we have to do. But a lot of times the challenges are going in and trying to find a key group of either a person or people who are already there. They know the community. They have bonds that have already been formed with people within that part of the area that I go into. It's not something that is just a quick fix. Sometimes you have to go in there and the person or the people have to get to know you. You have to, you know, they learn over time that you're there to help them grow tennis. And sometimes that's not something that's done overnight. Sometimes that's done within X number of weeks, months, maybe even a year that takes to form, to where they know you're there to help them grow tennis and find ways to grow tennis, either for adults or juniors or you know, whatever the case may be. So it's a challenge, but it's more of a long-term investment that I kind of look at. I don't look at it so much as a challenge. It's just something long-term that takes some time to go in there and be able to help whoever it is that you're going to meet with. And sometimes finding that person can be key, too. Sometimes you have to be able to have the time to be patient and find the one or two people that have, you know, have connections and have passion about trying to get something growing, you know, tennis-related. So challenge, but not so much a challenge. Wouldn't really define it as a challenge, long-term investment, more or less.
Again, a question for both of you, and this time we'll start with Chris. How important is education and training for the adults that are in these communities to not only teach and train youth, but they're even adults in those communities so they can do the things the USTA would like to implement into communities?
I think that part of it, education for the parents or the adults, is really key, because for so long tennis has been looked at as, you know, anybody can go out and pretty much, you know, coach a soccer team. I don't know how many, you know, I played soccer when I was younger. My brother coached my brother or my nephew's soccer team about 2 years ago. So anybody can pretty much go out there and coach the most sports. Tennis has been looked at, you know, for such a long time. That's not something I can do. So I think educating the parents is really key. That's one of the reasons why we've set up, we have chances for areas to schedule what we call the quick start workshops, where that kind of really helps facilitate and gives the parents or the adults the resources they need to coach. So education is a huge part of it, that if we can just get in there, educate the parents or the adults, that, you know, that, hey, this is something you can do with your kids. If that's such a basic level that once we get them in there, get them educated, they feel comfortable with what they are, you know, what they're going to do. An example of that was about 3 years ago, started an after-school program in the Fort Smith area. Started off, I think, with two schools. We took a maximum number of 30 kids per school. This year, I think we're in our third or fourth year now. We had a total of 7 schools. It impacted probably about 150, 160 kids between all the schools. The schools ran the program for 7 weeks, and then on the 8th week, we all met at the local park park courts, and we set up, this year we set up 24 36-foot courts. At the beginning stages, the first year, the teachers, they just weren't really sure that if this was something they could do. Year after year, we've not only added schools to the program, but we've also kept the schools that we had for, you know, from the first year or year after year. We haven't lost any schools. So I think educating those teachers and giving them what they needed to work with the kids was really key. If you know, once they got in there, realized this was something they could do, you know, teaching tennis to their kids, it really put them more at ease on the, you know, hey, this is something I can do with the kids. It's not something that's real difficult to do with the kids. It's just, you know, if that's the basic level. So education for me is, and I know Yasmin would probably agree, you know, totally, is education is really, really key for both of us in all of our jobs, not just mine and hers, but the state office, Community Tennis Association, you know, Southern Section, all of us.
Yeah, I would agree 150%. I think that if we don't give parents, volunteers, people outside of, you know, pro tennis professionals, if we don't give the tools to teach tennis, then we're just not going to grow. I mean, every other sport has that. Like Chris was saying, you know, you can go to any park and rec and you just need, they have parents, you know, volunteering to do every, you know, every t-ball league, every soccer league. They're all parent run. I think we're one of the few sports left that you need, you know, that the culture is, or the thought is that you need a professional to teach you lessons. And we're just not going to grow like that. We have to educate other people, parents specifically, I would think, on how to at least get their kids basic tennis. That's how we're going to get our large pool of kids that would want to start taking clinics or would want to start taking lessons or, you know, just want to be active, you know, just to be more healthy. So, yeah, I think that we've realized that, and we have a lot of recreational coaches workshops, I think we call them, and, you know, people can just get the basics on quote-unquote teaching tennis or just get some ideas on how to play tennis. I mean, it's not kicking a ball around like soccer. You can't just go out and do it. There are, you know, some aspects that if you want to continue to play and be more competitive, you're going to have to learn some basics. But that's not too different than football or basketball. You have to learn the rules. So, yeah, I think that we have to change our culture of tennis, change the mindset of the public on what it takes to actually be able to play tennis and play tennis well. So I think education is the key.
And this question is more towards for Yasmin. What I have found, I live up in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and I've done things when I used to live in Illinois with USTA, where I help do like workshops, whether it be 10 and under, or even just go to high schools. The challenge is I found that there are people who want to teach tennis, but they don't want to go through either USTA
for USPTA or USPTR to get certified or just do their own thing. Do you find that as a challenge? Have you run into people like that? If so, how could a person overcome that challenge?
A person that wants to teach tennis but doesn't want to go through those steps?
Yeah, they just want like, to do their own thing.
Go ahead.
No, what I was going to say was I know, like, specifically here in Milwaukee, we have some USTA organizations up here that do a very good job of doing summer workshops and everything. But there are a couple of groups up here that are in the African-American communities here, and they just do their own thing, even though these are USTA organizations trying to say, you know, how about you work with each other, they just want to do their own thing. Do you find that as an issue as well in the southern section?
Oh, yeah. It's all over. Yeah.
Okay, and then
I mean, there's
how
many
does one
schools of,
overcome that?
Yeah. There's many schools of thought on it. I mean, we do the Rec Coaches Workshop. That's not a PTR, USPTA certification. And
right,
I think that
right.
you can take a kid far with that. But I also think that people need to maybe stop and think about where their expertise ends and where they, you know, I mean, USPTA and USPTR certification or PTR certification are higher level training that you can get to take a kid from point B to point C. You know, you can usually get them from A to B just if you've played tennis. You know, you're able to teach to a certain level if you've just played tennis, depending on how high your level has gone, in my opinion. But, you know, they're just extra training. So, in my opinion, it's kind of like, why would you not want to get the extra training? If you really want to take the kid, and if you're just trying to create tennis players that are going to be recreational tennis players, that's fine. But if you want to give your kids the best opportunity to get college scholarships or maybe go pro, why wouldn't you want to get as much certification and as much learning and training as you possibly can? I don't know why you wouldn't want to. All right. Also, you know, I think it's a good opportunity to, well, I mean, I guess that's really the end of my answer. I don't know why you wouldn't want to get that. And it's really not that expensive to necessarily to have that. I don't think that you need it to teach someone how to play tennis. But I do think that if you want to take them further or as far as they could possibly go, I would think that to do the kid justice, you would want to get as much knowledge as you possibly can. That doesn't mean you're going to go out and teach it the PTR or USPTA way. I mean, they're two different schools in essence. They're going to teach you mostly the same thing, but things are going to be different. That's why we have two different organizations. So, I mean, I would, if it were me and I wanted to do the best service to my kids that I was teaching, I would get certified in both. And then I would use that plus my own expertise, my own learning, and try to give the kids I train the best possible training that they can get. That's just, I mean, my opinion on it. So,
okay.
You know, you could do it or not
Chris
do it.
Chris, have you had the situations in Arkansas?
Yeah, and you know, one of the things that I ran into, there's an area within our state, they do a great job with the kids. They impact a lot of African American kids, and they do a wonderful job. The question I would kind of try to propose to them is why don't we expand? We're wanting to grow tennis and giving these kids an opportunity not only just to meet new kids within their own group, but to meet kids throughout the state. You know, I think it's one of the big positives that we do push is this gives kids a chance, and not just kids, adults as well, but it gives all of us a chance to meet different cultures, not only within our own area, but throughout the whole state or the section. So that's one of the ideas that I've really tried to sell them on is, hey, you know, it's not just local, but it also gives the kids a chance to meet other kids throughout the state and really expand their what they've been exposed to, you know, just from beyond their local area. So, I mean, it back to your question, it is a challenge sometimes that, you know, like you said, you go to an area and they just want to, you know, they just want to do their own little thing, which is great. You know, like Jasmine said, I think that's wonderful, but I think anytime you can educate yourself even further, that gives you more tools in your pouch to be able to say, you know, I've done this and this and this and this, and it exposes you to it, not only that, but it'll expose them also, the person teaching the kids or the adults, it'll expose them to new ideas that they may be able to look and say, you know, I haven't thought about doing that. You know, let's try to do it this way and just see if it works. So there again, too, the education component is really key because it helps people get exposed to more, whether it's different people throughout the state, whether it's different educational levels. It really expands their whole base on what they can do.
And I just want to tag on too real quick. I think that part of our job, especially when you're looking in diversity, it doesn't just center around players. It's coaches, it's staff, it's the whole nine yards. I would encourage coaches that are working in the African American community or in the multicultural community as a whole, or are, you know, multicultural themselves. I think I 100% agree with what Chris says. I would encourage certifications because it does introduce you to a whole new network that you may not have otherwise. You know, pretty strong networks in both of those stations. And I just think it would be so beneficial to, like Chris said, get every tool you can possibly have. Also, the only barrier that I've really seen, that I've really heard about from people, is the cost. And both the USPTA and the PTR offer discounted certifications for any coach that is multicultural themselves or works in the multicultural community. So, you know, they've opened their doors, tried to break down whatever barrier they can break down by offering, you know, sometimes up to 50% off for, you know, for the workshop and the certification and the membership. So.
Okay. I have a show on Blog Talk Radio through HAT with a colleague of mine, Jason Haynes, down in Texas, and we do a show called Diversity in College Tennis. And we approach multicultural tennis in that way because the question we're trying to figure out, you know, it's an ongoing question, there's no definite answer to it, is when is the next American minority player coming? And we were hoping, like, with Donald Young's, James Blake's coming up, is there someone from the high school level going to come up, or is there someone in the United States that's going to come through the ranks, if you will? How can let me just ask that question. Do you think that's going to happen in the next 5 years?
I personally think within the next, you know, 5 or 10 years, it just takes time to impact kids and give them the tools they need, and you know, give them time to grow as a tennis player on the court and on the maturity level of it. So it does take a little time, you know. And Yasmin, do you want to chime in on anything?
Well, I would just say that, you know, I think we have with Pat McEnroe taking over player development nationally, some of the ideas and focuses that he has are things that we haven't really done before. I guess we've done them, but he's really streamlining the process. And I think that he's really focusing on making sure that we give more kids in more areas the opportunity to be a champion. And that's the number one thing. If you don't have your pool of grassroots tennis players huge, then you're never going to get, you know, a champion of any color that's American. You just won't, because we won't have enough kids playing tennis, and those percentages are just going to be against us. But if you look at kids that are already playing, if you look at the fact that the kids that are being born in America are just generally more diverse, and they're getting exposed to tennis at a higher rate, just naturally, generally. And then the USTA is putting behind, you know, 10 and under initiative and player development initiative to bring tennis out to the masses more. Just by the nature of by percentages, we're more likely to have more kids of color playing tennis. And then once they get exposed, the opportunity, you know, the possibilities really are just kind of endless. If you look at the southern section, you know, we have tons of kids of color playing tennis at very high levels in just Atlanta, not to mention all the rest of our other cities and states. So, yeah, I mean, it just takes you know, it takes the planets aligning for anybody to become a champion, no matter who they are. So they have to be at the right place at the right time. They have to have the right ability level. They have to have the right coaching. So it's absolutely possible. I mean, we've had a lot of kids just in Southern that are ranked really, you know, ranked in our top. We're one of the strongest sections in this country. And we've had kids ranked in the top 10, a lot of kids of color ranked in the top 10. If you go down in the 18s, so if you go down to 16s, 14s, 12s, and 10s, the number of kids of color that are ranked high, they're getting the number is getting higher and higher. So you never know what could happen. I definitely think it's a possibility within the next 5 years. I think it's a much stronger possibility within the next 10. But, you know, if we want to continue, we don't want just one and then we have 10 more years and there's another. We want American after American after American of any color to at least be in the top five, you know, nationally. I mean, in the top five in the world or whatever. But we have to get that pool of kids. We have to make it huge. We have to make it a whole lot bigger than it is and then make the opportunities available for anybody who, you know, is coming up. So that answers the question.
Yasmin, it did. Okay. Yasmin, can you just talk briefly just about grants? I know there's multicultural grants out there. So can you just tell us what those are about and if those are like ongoing or what the nature of those grants are?
So Southern Section has program grants. There are four different categories. There's junior recreation, diversity, I guess five different categories. Junior recreation, diversity, NJTL, which I can talk about in a second, special populations in wheelchair. So those grants are available twice a year through the Southern Section. Then different state offices have program grants as well. And some of them are the same categories as ours. Some of them have different categories. And they're all available, you know, some are throughout the year. Some, like I said, there's nine state offices. They all operate differently. They all have different things that they offer. But all the information is on their websites. But there are several community outreach grants or program grants for programs that are starting up or trying to expand into new communities.
Okay. And how successful has the people who have received those grants? Can you give us some, you know, what are the examples that you've seen that people have applied for them and utilized them, and what was the result of that?
I can tell you, actually, I can start with Arkansas because they've done something recently that's kind of no other state's really done this. So we had a diversity grant that was for the state offices. USGA Arkansas applied for this grant, received the grant, and it was a matching grant, so they also put their funding towards it as well. And one of the things that they've been doing is they did a diversity summit where we had our chief diversity officer in New York come down to Arkansas, and he did a workshop. And Arkansas invited all of their community tennis association directors and then, you know, another person from those associations that kind of, you know, maybe like a program director or something like that. And we had a good number of people in the room. It represented the entire state of Arkansas, and we had a whole diversity summit where we were just able to talk about ideas, talk about, you know, concerns, and it was extremely successful. And then at the end of it, what our chief diversity officer requested was that each different area send in to him plans for outreach and diversity and inclusion in their areas. And we received all those back in, and then the money that was in the grant is used to fund all of those programs. So that is an excellent success story in my mind. So now we have diversity and inclusion work being funded and being completed in every area that the USGA reaches in Arkansas, which covers the whole state. So, I mean, I think that's a great example. There's been other grants, like Atlanta Youth Tennis Foundation, for example. They've received some grants, and they went from, you know, one or two after-school programs to now being in, I think they're in 12 or 15 schools all throughout the metro Atlanta area, and they're doing after-school tennis and education programming. So, the grants best when somebody has a very solid plan, they have partners already, you know, there, they have funding coming in from other sources, and they, you know, need our money to make it, you know, to kind of fill in the gaps or whatever. That's been the best use of the funding, I think. And those are just good examples.
All right. And Chris, do you have anything to add to that?
As I was saying, this past year we had the summit, which we offered to all of our, you know, areas that probably came in, and we probably had, you know, anywhere from 24 on up to, you know, 24 on up people that came throughout the whole state that really, we all sat down, we talked, we found out what each area could do, you know, because just like I said, each area is different, even within the section and even at the state level, every area is different based on, you know, population, area. There's just a lot there that each area is different. So, you know, I think that was a great thing that we had because it really educated not just us at the, you know, at the level that we were at, but also the local level on, you know, what grants are out there. Because, you know, unfortunately, there again, too, education is such a key that a lot of people just don't know, and if they do, they don't understand what grants are out there to really help them grow. So, I think that was a great, great thing that we just had this past year, and everybody that came to it just, you know, walked away with you know, they knew something in their head. They had an idea of what they were going to do this next year and really try to push it, you know, and, you know, not just impact the same people they've been impacting over and over and over again, but keep impacting those people, but also bring more people into the fold.
Awesome. Is there anything you guys want to summarize or anything you guys want to say regarding multicultural tenet or anything you guys want to say anything regarding that? We'll start with Chris.
Anybody that can that would like to get involved, you know, please contact us, whether it's at the state level, the section level, or whatever, and we can get it passed down and meet with whoever needs to be, you know, met with. So, you know, my main thing is if any parent or youth or coach or anybody has ever wanted to grow tennis but not really been sure what process to take, you know, please contact us, you know, reach out to us, and we'll do all we can do. You know, I know myself, it's a little bit easier for me within my state to, you know, to set up a meeting and go meet with whoever it is. And then if we need to bring, you know, Yasmin into the fold, we can do that. You know, we can set up a, you know, a call with her. You know, I know she's been to the state several times. So asking her to leave where she's at just to come to our state, it sometimes, you know, it takes a little bit of time to get something like that going. But, you know, for anybody that's out there that's ever thought of really wanting to grow their tennis or they've had an idea in their head, really not sure how to take the idea to the next step, you know, please reach out to us. We'll be there and, you know, offer anything we can to help whoever it is out that would like to grow tennis and impact not just, you know, juniors but also adults.
Yes, ma'am.
I definitely want to echo that. We need all the partnerships that we can get. We need all of the contacts we can get. Our network has to grow. And, you know, I just hope that we can kind of, you know, through interviews like this and just different things that we are doing, kind of change the culture of tennis and just let people realize that it's available, it's accessible, to anybody. Anybody can be successful at it. You know, it's one of the best calorie burning sports that we have out there. It's the healthiest sport you can play. You can play it for, you know, to the end of time, really. And, you know, we just want to just get that message out there. One of the things I think is really important that people don't know a lot about and I think would be interesting to most people is there are a lot of colleges that have tennis teams, and they cannot find enough players to fill their roster. There's a lot of college tennis out there that fill their roster with kids from other countries, You know, there's a huge opportunity for people out there to just go to college for free. And if we can, you know, that's a big thing of mine. I really want to get some of these scholarships filled with kids that know how to play tennis. And, you know, a lot of kids, I'm thinking about my own tennis team. I went to two different schools, but my second was a Division II school. And our number five and number six slots got full scholarships. And some of them had played high school tennis for 1 year, and they had a full scholarship to college. So there are a lot of opportunities out there. I think that is a big selling point on just to get out there and try tennis, learn the game. And if you don't ever go to college, at least you have a tool with you for the rest of your life that you can use for anything, networking, for, you know, business deals. I mean, there's just so many reasons to play tennis. And if we can get that information out to people, we'll grow, period. And then that growth will already include the multicultural population, which is, you know, growing in and of itself. So we just need to help getting the word out, and I appreciate you doing this because I think that's, you know, definitely helping us to reach more communities and more people.
Yeah, and I can't speak highly enough about collegiate tennis. As a head women's tennis coach at Concordia University of Wisconsin, an NCAA D3 school, there are opportunities out there on any level, from NCAA D1 down to junior community college Division III tennis. There's always scholarship availability, and like you said, teams are always looking for players to fill their rosters, and if the roster is filled, just talk to the coach, and the coach will sure to get you an exhibition match. I know a lot of coaches who do that. So
yeah.
I can't speak highly enough about that myself, so...
One other thing I do want to echo too is, you know, before you get to the tennis level, there's the recreational tennis. You know, one of the things we're pushing, especially with the after school programming, is a lot of kids fall through the cracks on the sports that are normally available. You know, most girls are not going to be given the opportunity to play football, so that's out. Not everybody can play basketball. You know, you usually need to be a certain height or, you know, a certain body type to do a lot of other sports. Tennis is one that encompasses everything. You know, you can be tall, short, skinny, not so skinny. You can, you know, be of all different health abilities, all different physical, mental abilities. And tennis will allow you to, tennis will allow anybody to play. And when you're talking about keeping kids off the street, keeping kids safe, you know, keeping them away from drugs, teen pregnancy, obesity, we can fight all of those things with tennis. I can give you information about, like, the special needs community and how tennis helps them in other areas of their life, because you have to use your brain so much. So it's really just brain power, you know, working different social skills with that particular population. So it's just there's so many positives to playing tennis, and I'm going to go ahead and say it, playing tennis over other sports, that we just, you know, I want to get the word out there about how good tennis is and, you know, how open it is to any population. And, you know, once we get the masses playing tennis, I just don't think any sport can top us. I may be biased a little bit, but.
Don't be biased. This is a tennis program, so be biased. I'm even a former wrestler, and I'm telling you, tennis is better. You know, it's more healthier. You don't have to abuse your body as much than you do other sports.
Right.
And it's fun. You can do it forever. You know, I mean, like I told someone the other day, you know, how you don't see Larry Bird and Michael Jordan playing one-on-one charity tournaments. No, you see Pete Sampras and, you know, Yannick Noah out there.
Right.
And
when you go to our seniors, our super, super seniors, and you see these people that are like 75, 80 years old still playing tennis, two out of three sets in the hot sun. I don't see any football, wrestling, basketball, any other sport, not even really soccer, anything, maybe golf. But that's about it. So the sport of a lifetime for a reason, and I just want to make sure we get that information out, you know, to the masses.
Very good. So, Yasmin, Chris, thank you for being on the show. It was very insightful, and I thank you for doing this.
Absolutely.
No,
thank you.
So much.
Great.
All right. You too. Have a good day.
Okay. Thanks.
All right. You too. Appreciate it.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye. We just had
Yasmin Osborne and Chris Stewart, both with the UST Southern section. I thought it was a very good show. Those who are listening, you can always go to Facebook, and in the search engine spot there, you can type in Hat, H-A-A-T, and you can go to our page and like the page. Please do like the page, and make sure you can get the updates on upcoming shows and what is going on. Be more than happy to listen to you guys on your feedback, and if you have any programming ideas, just put something on the page up there and post it on there and see if what we can do. So, again, this is AJ Signeri with Hat, and I hope everyone has a good day, and hope you all are playing tennis. All right, see you soon. Bye-bye.